So I'm not up for the review. I'm going to skip it. We're going straight to 5:12. From the outline, jail doors were opened. In verses 12 through 16, we won't read all these. I'll give you the flavor of what's going on here. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Think. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed. So there are astounding and miraculous things that are going on here in the early church. And we read these things and we want to be, so many times the church is seeking after that. We want to be a part of these kind of astounding and miraculous things, and many are coming to the Lord, and people are getting healed, and there's all this power is going on. But there's other things going on at the same time. And one of them we'll see here today, persecution. And we saw last week, those that were faking it, remember Ananias and Sapphira? The fakers were dropping dead. We don't really want that to happen today, do we? The fakers were dropping dead. So there was sort of a built-in devotedness in the church. You really were not a part of the church unless you really were a believer. Unless you really were devoted to. Unless you were really committed to following Christ. Because it was costly not to. It was costly to, and it was costly not to. In the early church, it was, you've got to be real. And that was how the church started, and that kind of purity. And still, it was costly to share this message. So we'll take a look at the costliness of it. Verses 17 to 21. Follow along with me. Then the high priest and all his associates were members of the party of the Sadducees. Were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors. He opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. It was costly to them to share this message of new life, or the words of this life. It was costly for them to do this. And some may challenge this, and that's okay, but there was a certain price to pay for truly following God. There was a price to pay for really following Christ. And when we talk about, I cannot help but think of Abraham. Of Abraham standing on that mountain with his son there, about to plunge the knife into his son, to offer his son, who had ever heard of such a thing, unheard of, to offer his son as a sacrifice. And as he raised the knife above his head, that the struggle of faith, am I going to trust God with this? That was not a pleasant experience. That was not a pleasant experience. It was the deepest of deep struggles going on with Abraham. He didn't even see the situation. He didn't see the answer even correctly. He was intending on following through. He was saying that this God can raise him from it. He didn't even understand. But he was trusting God. There was a struggle of faith. And that same struggle of faith, as we're going to see today, I believe these apostles and these ones of the early church had to go through. This wasn't just thrown on them. That there was a struggle of faith that took place. Faith is much easier to talk about or even teach than to have. I like to talk about faith when there's no difficulties going on in my life, don't you? I can teach about it like with great power when there's nothing going on. But when I'm struggling myself to have faith, it's a whole different ball game. And this is where they had to be willing to go through this struggle of faith. And we're going to see it happen again in just in the next chapter. Stephen is going to be face the crowd. He's going to have to share the full message. And the price is going to be his very life. They're going to throw rocks at him until he dies. A painful death. And he had to face that. Is he going to trust God with this thing? Many did not join the church. They did not join in with the church because of fear. They lost that struggle with faith. They were not willing to go down that road. And we were told right there in that first passage that we read that because of fear, many did not join with them. Now, we might say, okay, if I was in prison and the doors flew wide open and an angel appeared to me and said, go share the full message. You might say, well, I certainly would do that, just like they did. First light, I'm out there sharing the message because the doors were just flung open. An angel appeared to me. I'm going to go out there and do this. But you see, there was a process of them getting in prison. There was an uncomfortable process of them getting in prison and then experiencing the doors flying open. Every step had to be taken. And there were steps of failure. There were steps of faith. There were steps of obedience. And we look, remember, these are the same guys that we studied, that Jesus trained, the training of the 12. Remember all of the failure. Remember the weakness. Remember where they came from. You see, there was a path, there was a road they had to go down to be sitting in jail here and have the angel appear to them and say, go and share the full message, and for them to jump to it and go do it. There was a road they had to go down to be sitting in that jail. And the road they traveled, they ended up as apostles. Remember, we looked at Barnabas. He went down this road. He kept being willing to take the next step. Did y'all see the title of the message? What was it? Tearing down barriers? Tearing down barriers to the next step. Well, I had three other titles I was considering. Can I tell you those? It might tell you where we're going. Okay. A hard row to hoe? Question mark. You might not understand that one. The swinging open of jail doors. Barriers to the next step. You see, when we talked about Barnabas last week, do you remember there were steps that Barnabas had to take to get where he ended up being an extraordinarily powerful disciple maker. But he had to take one step after the other to get there. And I will guarantee you every step of the way had a barrier. You know, he sold that land and it said he gave all of the money to the apostles. Do you think that was a barrier to give all of the money? Maybe to give some of it, but to give all of it to the apostles to help he gave all of the money to the apostles to feed the hungry, to help the poor. Don't you know there was a barrier there? A struggle? Maybe I should save this back for myself, for some security. There was a barrier he had to get through. But he was willing to take one, and we followed a little bit. We traced his path through Acts. By the time we get to chapter 11, he's a disciple maker. He took the risk of taking on Paul, the notorious Christian killer. He took on Paul to disciple him. Barnabas went from those first steps of obedience. And every step he made was not, he stumbled some. But he had to be willing to take one step after the other to where he got to by the time we get to chapter 11 down there. One step after another, and Barnabas became an extraordinary disciple maker. You don't get the prison doors swinging open until you've gotten yourself thrown into prison for the sake of the call. We like to have prison doors thrown open, but we don't like to be thrown in prison. He got there by walking down a path. He didn't get there overnight. Now remember where these guys started? Peter and John, remember? They did not start off so strong and bold and courageous and full of faith. They started off kind of arrogant, yet weak and failing and self-focused. But they took one step after another. And this is where they ended up. That path threw them in jail. And they had to be willing to walk that path. If they were going to have the doors flung open, they had to be willing to throw in jail. And they had to do something that got them thrown in there for the sake of the call. You don't plow that impossible field until the mule is harnessed and you're standing behind the plow, weak back, gimpy knee and all. You don't get the field plowed until you take the first step. The impossible task. And that's where we see these guys. This would have been an impossible task for them when Jesus first called them. But now, they're bold and they're courageous and they are believing God. They had impossible barriers. Oh, by the way, those fearful ones that refused to join the church out of fear and they didn't want to, it was too costly, where are they now? They paid a little more costly price, didn't they? I promise you, in pursuing this disciple-making life, there will be impossible barriers thrown up. Impossible barriers thrown up. One step after another, your next step, there's going to be an impossible barrier. Faith. They come when it can be barely spoken is when it's real. When the struggle is so deep that you can barely speak the words, you know there's an impossible barrier there. And it's only going to be torn down by faith, by believing Him. Abraham had that impossible barrier of what God had called him to do. It was only through the deep struggle of faith. And if you're not willing to go through the deep struggle of faith and believe God no matter what, He can be trusted. No matter what. No matter what the step is, no matter the barrier, the wall, He can be fully trusted, and Abraham experienced that. But he had to go through that. The apostles experienced it. But they had to be willing to be thrown in jail. They had to be willing to suffer. They had to be willing to pay the price. To go through the deep struggle of faith. There is a focus of the enemy to stop us from taking the next step. He'll throw the most horrendous, costly, tempting, distracting things in front of you to keep you from taking the next step and to keep you from getting in a position where the doors are flung wide open and you go out and share the full gospel message. He'll keep you from getting in that jail because He'll give you side routes. He'll give you a way around. He'll tempt you to avoid the barrier and never deal with the deep issues of faith that make us extremely uncomfortable. And it doesn't really matter where you are on the continuum. Remember we talked about that? Not interested, somewhat interested, seeker, believer, disciple. Wherever you are on the continuum, it does not matter. I've seen the most difficult barriers thrown at people that were barely even moving towards God. But the enemy saw that as a threat. And he throws up impossible barriers to those that are not ready to face those kind of barriers. And there's only one way through them. Deep, deep abiding faith that we trust Him no matter what when we can't see the outcome and we don't know what's going to happen. You would think those things would be reserved for spiritual giants, but they are not. They're thrown at us sometimes when we've barely even taken a step towards God. Barriers of responsibilities. We have our responsibilities. Barriers of health. My health is not up to this. I can't do this. Finances, family, temptation, career, children, losing our free time, persecution, and unanticipated attacks from the enemy at the point that hurts us the most. He doesn't play fair. But God takes what He meant for harm and He uses it for good. and he strengthens our faith. We wind up in the prison cell, and we're in a position for the doors to be flung open and for us to go out and share the full message of the new life. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It is written, I believe. Therefore, I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe. Therefore, speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of those who shrink back from barriers. We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So how did they get there? In that position where prison doors needed to be flung open, and they needed to go out and share the message of the new life. Remember, Jesus had told them early on, if you want to follow me, you must die. You must take up your cross and follow me. Or sell all you have and follow me. And then we respond with, oh, I was just wanting the doors to fly open. I was just wanting the power to heal, to preach, to share the message. I wasn't really planning on messing with all that, getting thrown in jail stuff. I just want the doors to be flung open and to have power and heal. But there was a road they had to go down to get there. And it was one step after another. And almost every single step required faith to go through some impossible barrier, some impossible field that had to be plowed, some impossible task, something so disheartening and discouraging that would take us out of the battle. I really didn't envision getting behind the... You can tell I've been in Georgia. My dad is not there, but he still influences me. I didn't really envision getting behind the plow with 40 acres of hard clay and rocks and a bag of bones mule with me and a bad back and a gimpy knee. This is not my plan. An impossible field. This cannot be done. God deals in the impossible. We see it. This is His playing field. Impossible. This is where he likes to play his game. Impossible fields. The barriers never stop if you are pursuing this life of sharing the full message of new life. The barriers will never stop. It will not stop when you're a great spiritual giant, and it won't stop with the first step towards God. Going back to Georgia every year, there are things that we're reminded of. And this trip, we saw a young lady who we hadn't seen in many years. She's up in her 30s now, but when we first met her, she was, and we've told you some of you this story before, she was 17 years old. She was, her parents were crack addicts. She was on the street. She, needless to say, her life was difficult. And she was not an easy case. Far from it. And we got a call. See, there were so many barriers to what God was calling us to do in this case. From the very beginning, we knew what he was calling us to do. He was calling us to bring her into our home. Lori and I had not been married long at all. And this was the first, this was a barrier we needed to get through. God was going to do something in our lives through this, through the faith of getting through this barrier. But there were so many barriers associated with this next step. You see, if that we wouldn't have taken that step, we would have gone another direction. This was the step he was calling us to take. And everything, every detail was against us doing this. We were newly married. Our families were not for something like this. Our friends were not. This was, we shouldn't be doing this. And even the way it came about, we were a simple, struggling, just getting going Bible study. We were reaching out to people that didn't know the Lord. We were just getting started, meeting in our home, and then we get a call. It comes from one of the wealthiest churches on the island. A good church with good teaching. Good teaching. And they called us to say, one of the reps that called us said, you know, our plate's just too full. Could you handle this? I'm going, could we handle this? What? You have 200 people in your church. There's not a single person there that makes less than 100,000, I don't think. And you're asking us to handle this? We're like, Bible, you look down, you don't even associate with us. But you want to? And so you see the attitude. We had attitude about it. So we didn't want to take this because it didn't come through the right path. And this is the sheer difficulty of the unknown. And for me, I felt this. And then I had to ask Lori, my new bride, to do this ridiculous thing. I had to ask this of her. I don't want to lead. I don't want to ask this. You see, there's one barrier after the other in this situation that we had to bust through simply by trusting God. And I have to Lori was driving home back over the causeway across the marsh, and this song came on the radio. See the hungry heart longing to be filled, much more than our prayers. A young girl sells herself on 7th Avenue, and you hear her crying out for help. My God, what will we do? Don't tell them Jesus loves them till you're ready to love them too, till your heart breaks from the sorrow and the pain they are going through. With a life full of compassion, may we do what we must do. Don't tell them Jesus loves them till you're ready to love them too. Then we had no choice. It was a barrier that we had to break through. Every step, there's going to be barriers. Ridiculous things that are thrown in your path, and you can go off and pursue your own way, or you can pursue God's costly way. Back to verse 19 of Acts chapter 5. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors. It's always during the night, isn't it? When you're forced to cry out in desperation to God. Why was this barrier torn down? Why were the doors flung open for them? So they could have a better retirement? So they could sleep in their own bed that night? So they could just have some peace? You know, sure, they got to have that experience of answered prayer and angels all around and all those exhilarating experiences, but that was not the purpose. The purpose was, go and tell the full message of this new life. That's why the doors were flung open, because that's the mission they were on. There was a road to walk down to share this new message, and it looked like a hard road to hoe. It looked impossible. But they took one step after another, one barrier after another. You could take these guys, these two, Peter and John, you could trace one barrier after another, one failure, success, faith, obedience, but they kept moving one step after another. They trusted God through the barriers. You know, to go the way of the world has its cost too, doesn't it? And most of us have experienced this. You know, you go the way of the world, there's a price to pay, because you make unwise decisions without God, and it costs you your marriage, it costs you fight, it costs you terrible things. But there is also a cost to following Jesus. It will cost you everything, and there are sacrifices to be made. You get thrown in jail. You need to have the doors open because you are on the mission. In chapter 5, 27-40, we get the story of the trial. The apostles are on trial. Peter and John are on trial for sharing this message. And the Sanhedrin are determined to punish them. You see, we read through this, and, they trusted. This is a real, honest-to-goodness trial, and they want the death penalty. That's what they're pushing for. This is serious business. These are real people. And as oddly enough, a Pharisee, Gamaliel, rescued them through an argument that he made for them. And so they did not get the death penalty. They ended up just merely getting the 39 lashes. That's most likely what happened here. Instead of do you know what the 39 lashes are? They figure 40 lashes would kill you. So it's 40 lashes minus one. So you don't die. So this was not just a little beating, a whipping. This was a for real beating. And this is how they were punished. This is leadership showing the way by going first. This is leadership showing the way by going first. So it says there, day after day in the temple courts, we're down here. Let's read 41-42. I forgot. The apostles left the Sanhedrin. That's the trial they just were at and the beating they just received. They left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. So don't tell me that it will not cost you to follow Jesus. Now, it costs you to follow the way of the world too. I'll tell you that. In the end, it costs you way more. But it does cost you to follow Jesus. They were rejoicing because they counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They sound relentless, don't they? They never stopped proclaiming. Day after day, every day, house to house, they never stopped. They seem relentless. It's like the deep end of Acts 2:46. Do you remember that? You remember Acts 2:46? Every day, it's almost the same wording. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You see, it's step after step. This is the soil in which they were continuing to grow in. They took those steps before they took these steps. So they took the next step. This was the step they took. Yeah, they were devoted to the word and to prayer and to fellowship. And now what happened? Now, it's like, is it okay? The devoted two's on steroids. This is the deep end. This is the deep end. They've trusted God. They've paid the price. They have found favor with God. They were on a path and they were ready and able when the time came. You know, there's an irony that God's word exposes. What feels safe is not so. It feels safe sometimes to not go with God's command, but to go against God's command is never a wise thing. They were fearful about joining in with the church. It was safer to not. But in the end, it was by far the most dangerous thing they could do, was to not join in with the unsafe and risky thing of being with the church. Jeremiah 7, I won't go there, but it says God is speaking to the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. And he says, what you are doing is not safe. To keep doing as you please and just go through the motions at the temple This will not keep you safe. You are being deceived, and judgment is rushing upon you. It feels safe to do your own thing and to go your own way. And it feels unsafe to follow God, when just the opposite is true. And it says that they didn't listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts, and they went backward, not forward. They went the wrong way on the path. We're talking about moving forward, going through barriers. They followed the inclinations of their own heart, their own flesh, their own desires, and they went backwards rather than forwards. Or as Psalm 34 puts it, each pursues his own course like a horse charging into battle. Boy, that is some description of us just doing what we want to do and following our own desires. I just picture somebody with their hands over their ears going, la, 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 and just running and God calling them all the way, correcting them and calling them. But there's people just going their own path and doing what they want to do when they want to do it, rather than facing the barriers and pushing through and taking the next step with God. So what do I see behind this history recorded here for us by Luke? These are real people going through real difficulties and challenges to their faith and barriers to the next step, and they're pushing through. It's always been so. It's always been like this. We mentioned Abraham and his battle of faith. Moses had many steps, many barriers to push through. He had to accept leadership in his old age of 2 million stubborn people. He had to accept that it was going to be by faith and not by a blueprint. He had to accept that it would be intense labor and preparation, but he couldn't do it. There's one verse that kind of narrows this down and says, where God told Moses, chisel out stone tablets, and I will write on them. Well, if you can write on them, God, why don't you just chisel them out too? He had to go through this labor to do something. He couldn't write on the tablets. But still, God said, go through the labor. Write on the tablets, and then take a hike up this fearful mountain, carrying those stone tablets, bring them to me, and I'll write on them. You can't do anything, Moses, but you get prepared, and you walk and you do this work. But I just want you can't write on them. I'm the one that has to do this. But you got to do the preparation. You got to work. You got to go through the steps. You got to come up on the mountain. But I'll write on the tablets. And then you take them down to the people. Many steps were taken, and many barriers were faced. So, I see where they've been. So we take out this little thing in Acts chapter 5, but see, I know these guys. These guys that are, all of a sudden, they're trusting God, they're going through open doors, they're going right at the first light, they're heading out to share the full gospel message, and they know it may cost them their lives. But hey, I know these guys. They weren't always like that. They had to get there by taking one step after another and going through whatever the next barrier was in their life. They had to not avoid it, or they would not be here now in Acts chapter 2, sitting in jail, trusting God, doors flinging open, just going and sharing the gospel powerfully. They wouldn't be there, but they started somewhere. They took one step after another through barriers, trusting God. They had to face each barrier with faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. They're real people. These aren't just saints that this was just, they dropped out of heaven. These are real men with real fears, with families, with financial struggles, personality issues, family issues. But one step after another, one barrier after another, they trusted God when they saw no clear answer. They trusted God. They moved ahead one step at a time. And then, Barnabas, extraordinary disciple maker. Peter, the fisherman, writing books of the Bible. How did they get there? How did they get there? The same way we get there. One step at a time. Facing the next barrier. Applying faith. Not giving up. Pushing through and growing. It's the way God has always worked with his people. So, what is your next step? What's the barrier in front of you?